Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Welcome to Friday Night Pints here at the M Resort. It's for WWE SummerSlam.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Matt Riddler here.
Riddle, whatever.
Chop it up, you know, whatever.
I'd like to point out a beer was not strong enough for Sheamus.
Yeah, we're doing a little Irish coffee.
A true JMO Black Barrel of me coffee, you know? Irish coffee, you know what I mean? Very sophisticated. Like. Since I am the most dressed up fella here. So.
You are? You're looking
yeah,
sharp.
Really.
You do look
the only one who made an effort.
How much
I made an effort.
Cost?
Like if we get
today or
in my life.
Okay. That works.
What's the full outfit? What's the price at?
This?
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. I don't look at the price tags.
Nice.
Price tags, look at him. Yeah. I'm not there yet.
I mean, I'm not a flashy dude normally. I don't go out wearing bleeding Louis Vuitton stuff or all that garbage. You know what I mean? I wear stuff that just suits me, you know?
It certainly suits you. You look fantastic.
Especially wearing this in the desert, you know what I mean? It's a great idea.
Not a flashy guy.
He's got the right idea, you know?
I was at
bringing
the
hardware. Not a flashy guy, he's got to bring
this. This is the flashiest thing I have right now, you know what I mean?
I bet, man. It's a good accessory.
Oh, Travis.
Yeah. Is that what you call him, Travis?
Yeah. He took that championship from me at WrestleMania.
That's right, he did, yeah.
But, hey, no hard feelings. You've been doing a great job taking care of Travis. But Travita, till next time, you know.
But you got a chance to get a couple of belts this weekend.
Hey, I have a chance. You know, I'm tagging with Randy Orton, the Viper, the Legend Killer, the Apex Predator, and we're RK Bro. We've been killing it. It was kind of an emotional roller coaster up and down. He RKO'd me last week, but then I saved him. And he embraced me. He said, RK Bro is back, and now we're facing AJ and Omos for the tag team championships at SummerSlam, the biggest stage in Las Vegas, Nevada. I made my pro UFC debut here and everything else. Yeah. So, you know, this city's near and dear. You know, I met my wife here, had my three kids here. You know, I've done a lot here in Las Vegas, and I think I'm going to become tag team champion here too, bro.
Let's go!
Jeff, you got the home field advantage then, right? So you're
yeah,
of course. I can't wait to. I usually get a great reaction wherever I go, but here, especially in like the Southwest, like Cali.
Okay.
Where are you from again?
Well, I was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Then I was raised in upstate New York in like Saratoga Springs.
Still don't sound like you're from any of those places.
And then I went to Pennsylvania at East Stroudsburg University, where I went to college with your brother.
And my cousin.
And then I went to Phoenix, Arizona, where I started after I got on The Ultimate Fighter. I was training there.
Is that where your accent changed?
I was going
to
say.
It's a state of
mind.
Or did you just grow up watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I talk like this, and I have twin daughters, and my one daughter that looks just like me, I have fraternal twins, talks just like me, like, hey, you know, just like really slow and everything else, and just kind of mellow all the time.
It's genetic.
It must be.
It's genetic.
You know?
Genetic accents.
You being from Allentown is like Seamus saying he's from France. It's like, that's not what I thought.
Yeah, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Dad's from Northampton, mom's from Parkland, Pennsylvania.
Cheers, man. Yeah. Well, so you were saying you're going to win the title and then hit the town, maybe?
Oh, I'm good. You know, if I win the titles, definitely hitting the town.
Bring the title out with
you? Yeah, of course. I'm going to go. I'm going to wrap it around. It's gonna
if
be
this one was Travis, what's the next belt?
Your twin.
I don't know. Well, I
have your daughters.
That's beautiful.
That's kind of nice.
That would be nice. Yeah, I guess I could call one Amy and one Allison, but then Randy would have one of my...
Then you can never lose them, though.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know what?
And I also think I got to see the title to name the title. You know, it has to be.
Like, true.
Pretty deep, man.
Travis wasn't. I didn't think of Travis before I got the championship. It was after I got it, and I was looking, and I was like, yeah. Bobby Lashley had this. I just took it off. Now the world champion. And I'm like, this, you little guy, that little eagle, you?
That's Travis. That's Travis.
So, yeah.
That's Mick. Change him to Mick.
Oh.
Is that Mick?
Yeah, okay.
So Mick, all right. There, you know, Mick.
You okay with that, Travis? He's okay. He's all right with
it. Sorry, we named something else.
So this weekend, Saturday night pay-per-view, which is different from the last...
Ever. No, it's
not ever, but
like
a long
decades,
time.
Right? Like
have we had pay-per-views
in the 90s, I think?
Yeah, they you used to have SummerSlams in like Saturday afternoon, Monday nights. It was all kind of different
nights.
But
since like the modern era, really, it's always been Saturday.
Always.
I think Saturday's great. I don't know what the idea was, but I think it's a great idea. You know, Saturday's great. You know, people can go out and celebrate, party afterwards. I'm talking about the fans and Matty obviously throwing them in there. But then Sunday you can relax. You know what I mean? And like traditionally, I don't think there's any problems with having a pay per view on a
Saturday. We always say the same thing about Super Bowl Sunday. It's like everyone rolls into work Monday hungover.
Yeah,
what's the point?
It's brutal.
Do it on a Saturday night and everyone can cut loose.
Brutal.
Enjoy themselves, right? Yeah.
I don't get. I mean, just because we're It's since I started, Sunday was the thing for pay-per-views, but I don't see why Saturday wouldn't work. Probably work better, you know?
Yeah. Can we get rid of that music, by the way? Is that possible? Get rid of that?
Being able to have this huge show on Saturday, and then you have the Sunday, and then you're going to have another huge Raw on Monday, it just feels like that buffer is going to be fantastic.
Well, we don't have a buffer because of the
flight
to Denver.
When I take the championship out, if I win it, it's going to go right from the club, right to the airport, right to Colorado. And then from Colorado, right to San Diego.
Yeah.
And then San Diego, then to Stamford, Connecticut, and then back to Florida. And then I haven't thought that far ahead. Exactly, and I got to do
this. We're back, fella. We're back, back on the road, back at it. Back
everything's
at
the road.
What, 70,000 or something like that this Saturday night? I mean, that's got to be like an unbelievable feeling to be back in front of the fans. Because I feel like, I mean, you guys came back, maybe before anybody, really.
Well, we kept going in the PC, you know. Yeah. Like, people talk about Thunderdome era, but like the PC was, I mean, that's where we went in, you know. Obviously, we kept it was like a lot of safety precautions there and everything, you know, for health-wise and everything, like the testing and social distancing. But we, you know, we worked through the pandemic in the PC.
How weird, like empty arenas, just, you know, your opponent, and the ref, really.
Yeah,
you guys,
and the announcers, and the announcers.
I personally didn't mind it. I was on The Ultimate Fighter, and like when you're on show, like, there's like 16 dudes you're fighting, and like Dana White, two coaches, like the ref, camera people, and that's it.
Yeah.
And like the only people that talk are the fighters and the coaches. Nobody else says a word because they're working.
Right.
So Thunderdome was the same thing. There's a bunch of people just working, and except for we got cool sounds pumped in it, you know, well, later on.
That was later on, yeah.
Not at first. At first, it was just dead silence.
But at the PC, it was crazy because like we had to walk outside, and it was like a kind of a tarp set up, like walkway. To get into the back, right? And then, like, on the other side where the hard camera is, those are all the production people were, you know, and you could see the doors into the PC gym. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a different environment. But when we moved to Amway then for the first Thunderdome, that felt like we were getting back on track.
Yeah, Amway
back
was...
in a basketball, hockey arena, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that sort of stuff.
I just can't imagine, like, I feel like wrestling is so much of it is the crowd pop, the feeling and the energy. When the music comes on, someone runs out and the crowd goes wild or a big moment. And when that's not there, it's a weird, for a viewer, it's weird. I'm sure it's crazy for you.
It's weird because you're like, Is it working?
Yeah. You don't know. So you don't know. So me and him. So we had a show, right? A SmackDown show. I met Matt only a couple of times. He was brand new. I think he came up right away. Rested right AJ. And we didn't know. Just kind of like, how's it going? How's it going? But the whole show got rewritten on one day for SmackDown. And we had like, we had 20 minutes before we went out there, before we found out we were wrestling each other.
Oh, shit.
So we went out there and, you know, everything was great and all. But like, they didn't air for like 10 days later because we did, remember, back-to-back stuff. Like
we would do back-to-back shows and they're like, oh, we had to rewrite. So you don't even know when you're going to be on. And then also, I guess that's happening this week. Okay.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I was like, the whole week, I was like, I don't know if it was any good.
Right.
I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was shite. I don't know if it was good. I have no idea. And I was just sitting there watching it came on, like I was in the living room at home. I was just getting off the couch and I was like, what? I was like, is this any good?
Yeah, you guys are so, you know what I mean? Immediate reaction.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I'm seeing it right away. And I was like, I had never, because like everything hit off real well. And like, again, it was just, we went out there, never wrestled before. We're going out, we're getting stuck into each other, which is great. My style, his style, was a great, right away, we hit it off, you know, like had great chemistry. But
literally, he likes to get hit time. Hard, I hit hard, he hits hard, I like to get hit, it's a good time.
A lot of hard hits.
Well, yeah, a lot of hard hits, bro.
But I had no idea, I was like, is this any, was it good?
Right.
I don't know, there's no measuring stick, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's no measuring stick.
So was it
stick.
Good?
It was great.
We're good.
So have the crowds, the reactions felt different since y'all been back?
Feels great.
I feel like the crowd, I mean,
everything I could have dreamt in my head
they were ready to see
is happening in real life. Everything I was like, wow, could you imagine if I came out and they were just doing this? I mean, how crazy would that be? And then, like, the other day I was in Gorilla before we go out to the crowd and my music's about to hit, and a couple came up to me and they're just like, I'm like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're just waiting for your pop. And I was like, what? And I was like, bro, oh! And I was like, oh, that was pretty good. And I roll out there, and I'm rolling around on a scooter, just having the time of my life. You can't pick it up, bro. A flip-flop, yeah.
You can't imitate that, man. As much as you try to do it, like, you can't.
No.
I mean, the stuff was piped in originally, like, but then it was, everyone was doing that, like, football were doing, soccer was doing it, NFL up, but, like, you can't replicate that. And then, you know, then there's unpredictability of what way the crowd is going to go. You
That's
know?
The thing, too. Like, baseball, you can pipe in some noises, and it's predictable, and you follow suit.
Yeah.
Wrestling, you don't know when the crowd's going to be
objective. It's like, so...
And they start their own chants. They start, you know, it's like...
They might get pissed off.
In the moment, maybe, you know. Yeah, absolutely. There's no way you can predict a wrestling crowd. That's one of my favorite parts about wrestling. The signs in the past.
Oh.
The era, and like... They're as much of a character as anybody is, you know, in the ring.
Do you have a favorite crowd reaction you ever got?
Oh, man.
It's a lot of them. The crowd just loves me, man.
No, there's definitely a lot. I mean, I think the most shocking one, I think, was after Mania 28 when I kicked Brian's head off in 18 seconds. Twitter just become a thing. And I guess there's a whole thing going around Twitter, like, to get on Sheamus. So I walked out there and I already knew what they're doing because I think it was the first time we had that kind of Raw after Mania vibe.
Definitely.
So I walked out and they're just like, they're just having a go at me right away. So it was kind of surreal. Like it was just they just went in there to take over the segment at a promo, and they just went in there to mess it all up. But that was kind of like, that just showed how powerful the audience.
Did you like that, or did you feel like weird about it because they weren't going with what you're trying to do?
I think back then I was a little bit apprehensive about it because, like, obviously I hadn't been around a long time. I was kind of like a fresh baby face. I knew there was going to be a lot of backlash over the match with Brian and me, like, beating him so fast. So I kind of knew, but, like, you know, it's just something happens over time. You know, you get used to it and, you know, you learn to kind of, like, embrace whatever they're doing, whether it's good, bad, or it's a chance to go in here or not. You just got to embrace it.
And weirdly, like, launched his career. That's talking about the unpredictability.
Yeah.
Totally.
If you're getting a reaction, that's what counts.
As long as when you see that's, you know, the angle, that's the script, that it's going to be however quick that match was, are you like, whoa, oh, shit.
Yeah, man, you don't know.
You know, you go with the flow, and you're just like, all right, let's fucking go. Because that's something like that is like,
yeah.
You got to make sure you lay the kick in there,
that.
Right?
You didn't see that. Right.
The thing is, those, honestly, I've had a couple wins like that. Definitely not at that level of WrestleMania. But it gets, especially when
the
every match is like
match?
10. Yeah. And when the matches are like 10, or like when they're 20 minutes long and everything else. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, ding, ding, ding. And it's like, what just happened? Like, what? Like, yeah, everybody's been kicking out of everything, but you just blast them and it's over. They're either like, yeah, or they're like, what the You know, it's either one, you know.
I know.
It's a good one.
Some we were kind of talking about it today. Like, do fans tend to blame you when they're angry, or is it like a writer?
Oh, it's the company.
The company, yeah.
Again,
that's a good spot to be in. Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I can do no wrong. I
say that, but then there's other times, like anything in the ring, that's
yeah,
on
of course,
me,
yeah.
You know, but when it comes to dialogue, I guess it's more on them. But we also have some input, but sometimes, you know.
You don't have any input.
Sometimes you
really?
Do, sometimes you don't. Yeah, well, it depends on who wants you to say it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one guy that
the V-man wants you to say it. Yeah. You're going to say it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is like, you know, we're characters, man, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know what I mean? We're athletes, absolutely, but, you know, the storylines, a lot of that stuff is out of our hands, we're creative. So, yeah, when I think people are wise enough, or the fans are wise enough now to, but sometimes they'll take it personally against a particular wrestler or whatever, a superstar or whatever. So, that's what makes it so great, man. It's just so unpredictable, and people can change, and fans can change. Do you know what I mean? It's a roller coaster, even for us.
Yeah,
it keeps on our toes. Like, you can go out there one day, it's like, yeah, and then something happens, and then it's like, oh, all right, this is not going the way I thought it was going to go. And just get the rug pulled out from under you. You know what I mean? And you got to go, and then just, instead of going, you think you're going this way, you're going this way.
For me, I just run into fun things like. The other day, I had to talk about my stepdad who left me 25 years ago when he went to get milk and just got lost and never came back. And I was like, but Randy, you came back. my mom and dad called me, and they're like, yo, who the hell is this stepdad? But they told me they wanted the stepdad thing.
Yeah, I mean, do you, as a wrestler, do you pride yourself more on your mic work, your in-the-ring work? Is it equal? Is there something that you think is more important to your success, either one way or the other?
I think it's all important. I think without one, but one and not the other, I don't think you're not gonna be as successful as you want to be. You really have to have two. You know, you have everything dialed up to 10 or as close to 10 as possible. Like, I had a lot of problems in the beginning. Like, some of the stuff, the promos I was doing, I just my ring stuff has always been aggressive, and you know, I've always found my feet in there, especially training with Dr. Tom Pritchard and FCW. He really got a lot out of me, but the promo stuff was always lagging behind, man. And in the beginning of my career, you know, sometimes I dreaded the mic, you know what I mean? And some of the stuff I was like thinking to myself, I never need to say this. I don't feel comfortable saying this, but I just go, well, that's the protocol. This is the dialogue. So you got to get the dialogue. But over the last couple of years, especially the PC Thunderdome here, I just feel like a shed of my skin, you know what I mean? I just feel like I'll put out, they'll tell me what the gist of it is, and I just go out there and I just be shamey, you know what I mean? I just talk about what I want to talk about and put it on way, and I'm not worried about, like, if I don't get that verb in or that adjective in, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that allows me to express myself a lot more. Like, his dialogue, like, right away, no, I'll give you one thing, like, you know, from day one with him, he knows who he is, man, you know what I mean? And that character's portrayed, so it just comes so natural to him, and that's why I think... With the promo stuff and the backstage of Vibe, it just comes so quickly and easy for him, you know what I mean? Because, you know, but I kind of struggled a little bit with my identity in the beginning, but, you know, that's part of it, you know? Yeah. The last couple of years, mate, I just feel like I just give me the mic, you know what I mean? Let me go out there and slag this fella, tear strips off this ladder to take the piss out of this guy, you know? And it's a lot of fun.
It's funny, it kind of parallels what we do in a way at Barstool, where we have bloggers, podcasters, radio hosts, video characters, and You cut promos and you talk shit and you have rivalries and like there's veterans and rookies and people who are comfortable, people who are finding themselves. We have nicknames and characters the same, you know, and it's kind of like a pussy version of that. We're not tough, we're not fighting. We're internet nerds, but we're doing the same thing.
The best similarity is that the best of us, the most successful, are just those guys turned up to 11.
Yeah. Yes.
Dave's the big cats that you're all you. Turned up to 11. That's what he is.
I watch your videos. I see him, and it's usually turned up. Like, you're talking about Jeopardy and that guy coming in and all this in his past.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, you know. And I'm like, how are you going to mess up Jeopardy? But the thing is, anybody could get that point across like this. But when you're like, I can't believe this. And when you talk and you get that energy, people are like,
It took me a while, man. Like, in the beginning, it was so awkward on camera.
More used to writing.
Yeah.
And the more, the worse worst is, like, even when I first started, I hate just being in front of a camera. Like, when I don't mind talking in front of a mic. I was in the UFC. Hey, give me a microphone. There's thousands of people, and I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say something. That's fine. But when you're, like, on camera, hey, these are your bullet points, this, that, and you're like, like that. I feel like I'm on Casting Couch. You know? I know I just have to say something. I'm nervous and I don't know what to do.
Let me ask you this. As a fighter that's literally been in there in the UFC in the highest of pressure situations, do you feel as much pressure like when you're in Gorilla tomorrow waiting to go out in front of 80,000? Or is that kind of calm, cool, collected? I've been here.
Now, when it comes to wrestling, I love wrestling and like fighting. That comes natural to me. I mean, it's like that's just second nature. The promos, though, especially if they want me to say certain things, because sometimes I just, especially with the crowd, people are chanting, and I'm like, yeah, 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 here's the mic. I'm like, bro.
And then you get the pop. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all you
then maybe
to say.
Dance. Yeah, yeah. And while I'm dancing, I'm like, what am I supposed to say? That's right, Randy's there. Hey, Randy, you know, whatever.
Have you ever forgotten your lines?
No, but Randy forgot his lines one time, and asked what his next line was, and everybody copped
like,
on.
What's my line? What's he got? Watchamania, yeah.
Sometimes you get carried away, though, and you're like, what was this? Even in interviews, it's like, what was I saying again?
Yeah.
Like, what was the point of this conversation? But that's what's real life for me, you know? Irish people just have to, they say gift of the gab, but we just like to talk and hear ourselves talk a lot, you know what I mean? Especially with a couple of pints, but like, yeah, I'll just go off down the road and be like, hang on a second, what was the point of this conversation again? But Randy, no, that was a joke. But of course, I've gotten there a couple of times. But you just have to improvise and just
find your
way around the cul-de-sac. It's like driving down a dead end, and you get to the road, and it's like a little one of those circles. You just drive around the circle, and you just come back up, and then you take the left that you're supposed to take earlier on.
Sometimes you hit a 3-point turn. Whatever, you got to get back on.
I can't do 3-point turns.
Just say bro.
Yeah, just yell bro and see how the crowd reacts to that.
I'll say fella.
There you go. All right, so we've got a set of questions from our fans. I feel like wrestling fans are some of the best on the planet Earth. Same thing with our podcast listeners. They've been coming up with these questions for the last decade of our show. So we're going to start off. We got wrestling questions, and we got general stupidity over here.
Right.
So assemble your 5-man pro wrestling drinking crew.
All right.
You're going to go out for a night to party. You're going to go out for a night to throw back a few pints. You know, do the most damage.
I feel like whatever Shamo says, I'm probably going to be very close to that because...
Yeah, you guys together.
You guys roll in the same circles?
Okay. I don't know if he's gonna. One. I don't know if he's gonna pick me, but I'm gonna pick.
I would imagine.
There's been a couple times where I've been out with him where I'm like, oh, this thing.
I can't fit.
So I don't know if he's picking. But some nights I'm on fire. And if I'm on fire.
No, you are, yeah. He's definitely.
So you don't have to.
He's in the crew.
He's nice. You got to be top.
It's a big win.
Top three pick, right, in the company, if not number one.
Well, it's to Myers, I'm an alcoholic now. Is that the deal?
Oh, no.
Is that the deal, huh?
You are the only one that demanded a whiskey on
set. I asked Irish coffee. It's an Irish coffee.
There's a difference.
It's completely different.
He'd be in it for sure. Damian Priest before, he pissed me off and went slightly come for me
Damian
gold. Damian, you know,
Priest,
I mean?
Likes
before.
To party. He's cool.
I'm trying to think who else. Drew, but Drew doesn't drink anymore. So Damo, Riddle, again, as I said, pre-Damo, before all this last couple of weeks, was wrecked me head. Didn't see that coming. I'm trying to think who else was... who'd be good in the old guard.
You know who had a couple? You know who had a couple?
Taker drink. Taker was
Taker,
it. Taker was
it. You know who had a couple care? Drinks the other day?
Who?
Randy.
Oh.
He's a big guy. He's like 6'6", 6'7". Insane.
He'd be a 5-man crew for anything right now.
And if you think this could also be a drinking crew, but this could also be a faction. Could you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I don't know, man. I missed all that era. Randy, on the first overseas tours, Cena definitely would have been on there.
Really?
Yeah.
He gets after it?
Did.
Yeah.
Especially overseas
tours. Before
he became
Mr. Hollywood.
Taker for sure. And then...
That's probably your five right there. I think you got one more. Any other classics? or even when you were growing up, you know, we can go way back.
He's being very discerning about this.
Like, yeah, you are. He's not, he's not fucking around.
No, I drank with everybody I wanted.
Oh, there you go.
Devin, oh, you know who we didn't pick? Probably an OG, Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I stole all his. So he came to Mania after the one in Texas. I don't know what number that was.
32.
So they did was the League of Nations, and then he came out with Sean and Foley. So afterwards, he says, "Oh, you want a beer?" So I basically drank all his beers. So it wasn't too impressive.
we interviewed him once. I was probably a year ago, 2 years ago. He came in. It was like 11 a.m. on a Wednesday. He's like, "You guys mind going to grab me some beers?"
He was ready to rip.
Like, all right.
Yeah, he's definitely he lives that lifestyle, you know.
All right, over to a general stupidity here. Would you rather your girlfriend or wife, whoever, be able to read your thoughts when you're in bed with her, or all the other time when you're not in bed with her?
Yeah, in bed. I'm pretty one track. So I'm going to be thinking of her in the best way possible.
Yeah, okay.
Every other time, I mean, my brain wanders. I don't know. I might be thinking about
Randy. Might be thinking about Randy.
Yeah, I might be thinking about Randy. I might be thinking about Travis. You know? I might be thinking about, you know, taking the belt out on the town. Yeah. That could be trouble. Yeah. I was thinking about going to Rob Van Dam's pool party earlier, which would have got
Does Rob Van Dam have a pool party here?
He does, you know. I believe it's at the Sapphire.
Bro. Get that invite?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Bro. You guys are over. You guys can get in there. Fine. But yeah, you know. Yeah, so yeah,
I feel like
in the bed.
Inside your brain, man, is either a fucking a trip in a good way or a fucking get me out of here way. Like, I get you off this ride. I'm done with this roller coaster. Enough with Randy and Travis. Let me go.
Yeah, I'll I definitely say the bedroom. So.
Yeah.
anything else, you can get in too much trouble. All right, back over to wrestling. Would you rather wrestle 5 swoggle-sized John Cenas, so 5 little Cenas, or 1 John Cena-sized swoggle?
1 John Cena-sized swoggle.
Yeah, same.
But you'll never pick him up because he's bottom heavy, man.
You know, he fought at Rough and Rowdy. We do, our boxing amateur competition. He was a main event of the last
one. Yeah, I know. He fought the world's strongest little person.
He put on a good fight.
He fought the world. Like, the guy was benched. That guy benches more than me.
Yeah.
He
doesn't move his arms as much as you. To be fair,
I don't care. I'm still, those are real numbers he's pushing.
Like,
and his squat, everything was insane. Like, he squats like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah. I remember Swaggle was on a kick. Cena had him like working out. And we were like, you see him at all the different towns we're in, like before TV. And he was doing lunges and stuff. It was like the funniest thing because like our squat, he didn't have to go very far. You know? Yeah. For me, I'm like, God, it's so far then. But like, he's doing the lunges. It was awesome.
I feel like he's got to be one of the most beloved guys in the company. Like, ever.
He was great with us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's charismatic.
He's a good guy.
You hate Swaggle? Like, you know.
Finley used to rib him a lot, man. I remember before I came in, though, I heard stories like when they were in Mexico and Swaggle was under the ring and Fit would put live chickens put underneath the ring.
Oh my god!
So you come out screaming, and
poor bastard.
Chickens chase them, from underneath the ring.
The chickens chase them. Man, that's like Rocky trying to catch the chickens.
Yeah. He was telling us stories about how he was under there for hours.
Right? Yeah,
he had to go to the bathroom. He couldn't get out. He's just like living under there.
Oh, they rib him all the time, man.
Yeah, the chickens.
Ribs are real.
If you could have only one thing for the rest of your life, the internet, or music, TV, and movies?
Is it any one of those four?
But can I use the internet to watch?
Internet's one thing.
No.
Get music, movie, and TV.
Banned from your
music,
internet.
Movie, and TV.
Oh, like the giant.
I don't really need it. I mean, like, just for what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I got the right music there, you know what I mean? And then the movies I love, whatever, grown up liking, like on TV show, that's good enough for me.
I feel like once you guys get to where you are, too, like you, like we.
I'm older. I mean, I grew up in that era. Like, you know, I mean, I grew up, like, especially I love 80s movies, you know what I mean? And 80s music. I love 80s music so much that my fiance loses the plot when I just leave it on the whole time in the car. She's just like. She can't handle it.
Wait, you do movies in the car?
No, 80s
music.
80s music. 80s.
What kind of 80s music?
Oh, anything, mate. I'll listen to Aha. I'll listen to Bleeding. I'll listen to anything, mate. You know what I mean? Like, literally, There's so many one-hit wonders from the 80s.
What's your favorite movie from the 80s?
I'd say Back to the Future.
Nice! My fucking game.
So much so, I bought a DeLorean. When I made a bit of money here in WE, first thing I did, I went out and I bought a DeLorean, 1981
no
DeLorean.
Yeah. That is
oh, it was a pile of shit. Like, people would be on push bikes cycling by me and I'd be hitting like as fast as I could go, but it was awesome.
Yeah, you can't even
it was the best. The door going up one time I went to this like I must be a 2013 or 12. I drove the car to this place in Tampa, right, and it was like a swanky place. We went out there, it was Friday night, and there was like Lambos, Ferraris, all that stuff. I parked it out there, it was parked right beside him. I went in on the way out, you know what I mean. Everyone was taking pictures of the DeLorean, $25,000 DeLorean, and no one was taking pictures with any other cars, you know.
Like, you still have it?
Oh no, I just got rid of it. Yeah, I sold it.
That is a move right there.
I just wanted it. I got it. That was it. And then I sold it. Stallion bro.
Stallion move.
It's a great move. It's a perfect move.
I would say my favorite 80s movie is Howard the Duck.
I know.
I know it doesn't get a lot of love.
We were just talking about yes.
Howard the Duck, man. It was just.
He shows up in Marvel's new TV show.
I like that he's reading the play duck. He's got like the girl duck.
You're right. Getting in his head would be.
Good times. I remember watching that movie as a kid. It was RoboCop and Howard the Duck.
RoboCop's a great one, too.
Right before school, I was like, Mom, I want to watch RoboCop or Howard the Duck.
I've seen Howard the Duck, like not the movie, but I know what it looks like. But like, what is the plot of the movie?
Okay, so Howard the Duck's just chilling on his own duck home planet, and it's a lot like Earth, but they're ducks. he's in his apartment smoking a cigar, reading like a play duck, which is like a Playboy, but like this big duck. And then all of a sudden, he's on his recliner and he's like, "What's happening?" And it sucks him through. And you find out what happened. It sucks him through and he gets blown through his whole apartment and it brings him to Earth. Basically, scientists on Earth have like a tracking beam and they accidentally put it on his coordinates and sucked him to Earth.
I think this is now
he's on Earth.
It's George.
Howard the Duck. And then the people are still in that like place doing this science, and then they bring a dark overlord over. And then this dark overlord's in the one scientist. And then Howard the Duck basically teams up with this pretty cute rocker chick. Which in the 80s. Chicks, you know, always
back to the future.
Rock.
Chick from back to the
yeah.
future.
Yeah. So that was going on. So he teams up with her. They kind of have a thing. I don't know what happened with her. And
wait, what?
Yeah. You know.
The duck fucks a rock star. Yeah.
Something happened. I'm not sure. They share a bed. She likes him. He likes her. But end of the story, Howard defeats the dark overlord.
His the duck.
Laser.
Bro.
Boom. Howard the Duck's basically a superhero.
The passion.
Howard the Duck you like an hour ago? How do you remember all
I
that?
Mean, like I said, I watched it a lot. You know, I know the ins and outs of Howard the Duck. I actually watched it a couple months ago, and I actually heard the vocabulary in the movie. I was like, oh, that's pretty strong for PG-13, whatever it was. But
he was in an episode of the new Marvel series.
Yeah.
He was slugging martinis, hanging out at the
bar.
Dude,
what was that? What was that? Guardians, was it?
He was in Guardians, too, yeah.
Yeah, he's like one of the guys like with a gun at the end, yeah.
That's George Lucas's greatest accomplishment. Yeah. Forget about Star Wars, man.
I love it. Let's talk shit about Star Wars. Star Wars,
we talk about Star Wars, we're getting canceled, dude.
I have no opinion.
This guy will cancel.
I'll try to take Trevor right off you. I got
a lightsaber right on his arm.
I didn't know what that was. I thought it was like some part of a motorbike or something.
Oh, no.
Sex toy.
It might be a sex toy.
I'll be honest. I thought the last couple of Star Wars were not good.
Terrible.
I thought, I love that. Empire is one of my favorite movies. Like, I admit, Empire Strikes Back is one of my favorite movies. There is a Star Wars, obviously. Return, as a kid, it was great because the Ewoks, but when you watch it back, whatever, I don't think it stands up. But I just thought that the first one they came back with, number 7, that was very nostalgic. The member berries, the South Park were taking, like, the piss out of it. But fell asleep in the last Jedi and...
Luke's Bob, come on.
Skywalker
you know thing. That those were silly.
Bro, I saw The Last Jedi 7 times in theaters.
Sick.
You had too much time.
I saw 3 times in theaters because I fell asleep.
Look at
time.
Me.
No, I was
trying to finish it.
It made no sense. It was all over the place. It was.
Oh, but the cinematic You know, visuals are amazing.
That. I can't say
that. Like, I tell you what, you know what's a great movie? Rogue One was brilliant.
Yeah,
Rogue One. Are
fun.
I agree, but I'm rooting for Damien Priest. I just want you to know that.
That's okay. It's all right. I'm rooting for Howard the Duck, so there you go.
All right, back over to our wrestling questions of ATI here. What is the greatest finisher of all time?
Stone Cold Stunner.
That's my quick answer, and I think that's the
by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
But yeah, it's got to be by him.
By Stone.
Not some other people.
No, I just think the Stone Cold Stunner. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think it's when he hit that, mate, everyone.
Okay, so
crazy,
so the Stone Cold Stunner delivered by Stone Cold. Best, who takes the best Stunner?
Vince.
Who sells the best Stunner?
Vince was
the worst.
He's the best.
He did the dead fish.
It's more realistic. That's how it would go. You would just...
Sergeant
Slaughter. Didn't he take a great one,
too? He took kind of the Bret Hart, like, stiff sell of it. Yeah, like, right into the shoulder.
Scott Hall took the jump.
Yes.
I hate that.
What about, like, The Rock running around?
Oh, stop.
The WrestleMania Stunner.
They made it in the video game when you stun people in the video game, the guy was just, I'm like, come on, I'm trying to get the pin.
That was a SmackDown. Stop rolling. Right? That was the original SmackDown.
Yeah.
What was your favorite wrestling video game?
Probably I love the N64 ones. WrestleMania 2000 was good.
Yep.
There's WCW versus NWO's really good.
I thought nothing could top WCW versus NWO.
Yeah.
And then WrestleMania 2000.
And people give a lot of praise to No Mercy.
No Mercy was great. Awesome.
People give a lot of praise to No Mercy. But I saw this one. It's like a Japanese, it's like virtual pro.
Fire Pro.
It's not Fire Pro. It's like, maybe it is. I don't know.
One of
them for N64, but it's a Japanese version. And I mean, this game has like all the indie spots. Like, you can like buckle bomb people into this. And I'm like, how are they doing? Like, this stuff wasn't even happening yet, but it's happening there.
I remember
where they got it from.
I'm not sure which of those three it was. It was one of those three. Getting over the top of the Hell in the Cell, you had to like tap the button as fast as you could.
That's what we all carried the road to wrestle.
Yeah.
I was idiots playing video games like in the 90s, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The late 90s. Well, carpal tunnel from hitting, just hit the button as fast as you can. Like,
we used to.
I used to have a technique. I would just hold it with one hand like that.
Where you had people would get, I think when we were playing like Super Mario Brothers or like Super Smash Brothers or something like that. Yeah. Where, like, you
hit the joystick,
like, you get like a burn in your hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was the same with Superstars Arcade Machine. Remember that? You tap as quick as you can.
Yeah.
To kick out a pin.
I mean, at that age, too, it was an important thing to learn. You got to get that dexterity.
I mean, maybe for you.
Let's not act like we're all above that. That's for everybody, pal. All right, marry, fuck, kill, if you're familiar with that. You got to marry one of these things, fuck one of them, and then you got to get rid of the other one.
Or PG-13, maybe. We can't say that middle
word. Marry, sleep with, and kill. Italian food, Mexican food, Chinese food.
Oh man, I'll do.
I want to
do Italian.
Fine, in three.
Go ahead, you answer.
He needs more beer, mate.
Italian, Mexican, Chinese.
I'll do Italian, mate. Italian's great.
You gotta marry.
Marry that one.
You're marrying the Italian.
Yeah, I think Italian is the.
No, I have to go Asian. So Chinese, because my fiance's host to Asian, so I got slapping.
Smart man,
nice.
Smart man.
Yeah. Good revision. Yeah.
Mm. I feel like Italian is the best of. If you take the best dishes of each of these, the best Italian dish is the best of all of them.
I think you might be right. I've been to pasta though. It's something with pasta.
If you get the best of the best, like, I've been to China and I had these like businessmen like wine and dine me, bro.
Did you do the sponsor dinners where you like you have to hit them with wrestling moves?
No, this was an MMA kind of thing.
Oh, gotcha.
But the food I still want to go back to China and eat this food. It was that good.
When you get authentic food from any, you know.
That's why, like, I had my answer. Right.
But Italian, if you drop Italian, are you dropping pizza?
Pizza.
Or is that, like, Americanized?
And are we talking about world class? Or are we just talking about, no this is just, like, general, like,
you're gonna,
that, you know what? That's the other thing when it comes to, like.
Not to make this question harder.
That's why we're here. Mexican food is, like, one of those things, like, I can have Taco Bell.
I'm killing
or
Mexican
fancy
food.
Mexican food, and to me, it's
really?
All. You're killing it?
Oh, yeah. I'm probably going to marry Chinese.
You're marrying Chinese.
Make some whoopee with the Italian food and kill the Mexican food.
I pizza's great, but like I don't really consider like a meal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like a
taco. The King of the Bros is writing off Taco Bell. Well, that just seems sacrilege.
We're not saying this. This is a, like, do or die. I'm just saying, if I had to pick, like, I would pick Taco Bell over Panda Express. But in my scenario, I'm thinking world class. World class. So it's
fair,
like,
enough.
World class Chinese, world class Italian, world class Mexican. I feel like world class Mexican food, I've had really good Mexican food. Only gets so hot.
I agree. The
there's only the they use certain ingredients, even
but it's
the
all front, good.
It's all good. I can have Taco Bell all the way to
the most expensive Mexican food in the world, and it's like the same thing. I'm with you on that. But
can
as a guy,
can I compare Taco Bell to gourmet Mexican?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
There's a place around the corner. There's a place around the corner for me, right? Proper, authentic Mexican. I'm telling you right now, there's a huge difference between that and Taco Bell. Unless you're eating Taco Bell at 4 in the morning after a shedload of that, I'm sure it tastes
any time of the day.
I'm sure it tastes amazing.
But the authentic, I think that Taco Bell would be the top of your.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
The problem with the authentic Mexican is that they serve everything on corn tortillas.
The corn tortillas are terrible.
Not as good
and
as
they don't have
tortillas.
The queso and the melted cheese. Dude, you're crazy. Cinnamon
I love corn tortillas.
They're terrible.
They're better.
They are
they're
awful.
Better. Why'd you throw that card? They're better.
They are awful. They're like rubber.
The flour gets mushy.
You know what? I think everyone's spoiled these days. I think we're spoiled for choice. When I grew up, my granny gave me for lunch cheese sandwiches, which was just two slices of bread, butter, and easy single cheese. And for dinner, I have bleeding. I know it sounds stereotypical, corned beef and cabbage and spuds. I feel like everyone is so bleeding spoiled for choice now.
Did you grow up in the 30s?
I love me a cheese sandwich, but I do the mustard cheese.
Yeah, I used to have butter sandwiches.
But dinner,
just a little butter.
Bread and butter?
Yeah, I don't eat that.
Yeah. Actually, you know what a good delicacy is? If you ever go to Ireland, it's like a crisp sandwich, right? So crisps are like, they call them, what they
chips?
Call them? Chips, but they call them crisps in Ireland. So Tato is the biggest. Tato and King are the biggest chips, crisps, whatever. So you just get like, basically get two slices of bread, a bit of lash the butter on and put the crisps on in between it.
And that sounds crunchy as hell.
We gotta get some this weekend.
That's what you should be eating after your, wacky.
That sounds fantastic.
Your endeavors, yeah.
You know.
All right, here's another one for you. There are two buttons that you can press. One of them, you instantly get $1 million, no questions asked. The other one, you have a 50-50 chance of getting $100 million or nothing. So 50-50.
I'm just going to say, how would you
even Rolex?
I don't know about you. We got to up the numbers.
Yeah. I'll do the 50-50.
This guy's taking a chance.
I'm not gonna lie. I'll take the 10. Even if it's one, I'll take the one, and I'll be good. I can retire right now. I'm good, Vince.
What number would it need to be for you to take the guarantee? No 50-50.
10.
10? Okay, 10 million. Right. And you're taking the one?
I would take, I can make that money last so long.
I was going to say, I feel like...
I don't know if you know my lifestyle. It's pretty
sweet.
We're
not rolling out with the Rolex.
By the way, when I'm home, though, literally, I just wear...
He honestly dresses more like this than I do.
Yeah, I've got like...
But even my nice clothes don't look that nice.
Do you ever dress like this?
You guys should swap. You guys should swap identities.
I win.
By the way, I just dressed this because
I might get some of those shirts. What is that?
I'll give you a few of these.
Yeah.
Father and Sons from the UK. They make you look bigger than what you are. They're tight and spandexy.
I got to get me some.
Yeah.
I actually got the same shirt.
Yeah, shout out Suplex.
Suplex, what's up? Later, Joel.
When was the last time you were clean shaven?
Oh, I did it after I tore my shoulder. I made a bollocks of my beard.
Growing this.
Can you grow one?
No, I've been growing this. This is actually Randy's facial hair. He has a mustache, flavor saver, a little goatee, and I've been growing it for about 2-3 weeks now. I might color it in before tomorrow's event, or I might shave it. We'll see.
Color it in, mate.
You should color it in.
He'll appreciate that.
I think Randy would like.
Randy would love it.
Did you say how long ago you were hurting?
So I tore my shoulder in 2013, and I was trying to fix the beard, and I made a bollocks of it, and so I just shaved it all off, and then I went. I had to go to Birmingham. I think it was in Birmingham. The doctor, and then was backstage, and I'm walking in, right, like, I just, nobody recognized me.
Yeah.
It was crazy, and I walked in backstage, like, security stopped me and everything. I'm like, it's me. It's Seamus. But it kind of like, do you remember Homer Simpson shaved the 5 o'clock shadow or 6 o'clock shadow? That's what I look like without it. I look like your man from Happy Days. What was the guy's name? Ron Howard's character? I look like Richie Cunningham. From Happy Days. It's not a good look.
You like Travis Kelce just did that when like Travis Kelce.
Yes, he shaved his beard. He looked ridiculous. Like,
what the hell?
Oh, is by the way, person?
What color hair
color?
Is
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Look
what
at that.
What hair color would you say he has?
Jesus, I don't know.
You didn't touch it. You asked what color.
Strawberry blonde, is it?
What'd you say?
Strawberry blonde.
Oh, fuck that.
It's definitely more. It's definitely more blonde than strawberry.
It is blonde. Yeah.
It's the lighting.
It's been a big.
It's been orange all
blonde. It's
orange.
It was super orange.
There's with this light, it is hard to tell.
Nobody fucking knows.
No, it's because it's actually it's like it's a hair color that hasn't been invented yet. I started.
You did. Like, yeah, you started your own.
I'm a one of
hair.
One. Mango. I used a bunch of Sunnen all summer.
You got the
Sunnen.
Yeah.
I used to use that all the time.
Fucking right,
Italian.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
He's a super king, bro. You are a super king, bro. You would fit right in with this guy.
You should hang out with.
Yeah,
I'm the manager.
The bigger right, the mustache going on as well. The barber, old school barber mustache.
Yeah.
He's the twist going.
I'll twist it up. It's the mask kind of fuck you because you
get. I had the same problem. This was longer, and I had to cut it short. Like I had a long, like Wolverine vibe sort of thing, but I had to cut it because the mask just messes it up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's just flat.
Can't even use the wax because it just gets all over it.
How dare coronavirus? Damn you! Damn you, coronavirus! This is beautiful!
There's been one bad side effect of the coronavirus.
It's my mustache.
All right, this is one I'm happy I grabbed here. Would you rather be thrown off the top of the Hell in the Cell, Mick Foley style?
Right.
Or wrestle New Jack?
When he was alive, obviously.
Yeah. I wrestle New Jack. I'd love to do that.
Really?
I would have,
I'd beat the shit out of New Jack.
I thought in the UFC.
There's a
real
bad. I mean, there's a chance he also might have a real weapon.
Stab you, bro.
That's all right. Stab him back.
Yeah. Yeah, like, what do? Yeah, you stab him back. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, and New Jack, I mean, I feel like... When you're that kind of guy, like I feel like he would respect Sheamus. He'd probably respect me, and it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, that guy is going to stab me.
Right.
You know? Like, that guy he's a little off, you know?
Having UFC training, are there ever any times where it's like, because I feel like sometimes there's probably some real beef backstage or whatever,
getting
along, and knowing that if it's not a scripted fight, if it is like you're really throwing hands, you could probably handle yourself pretty well, is it ever kind of like... Listen, I will fuck you up, man.
If an old timer tries to come up to you to intimidate you.
I look at it like this. I would never want to have to do that. My goal is, even when I fought in the UFC, even now, is to always be like, hey, bro, like Goldberg ran into me a while back, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And I could tell him, and I was like, hey, bro. Again, he's like, I'm not your bro. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know? But at the end of the day, if anybody does put their hands on me, they'll find out sooner than...
Real quick.
Yeah. And I'm not worried. And I think my demeanor shows that because I'm, you know, it's like I don't have to be like, what?
I feel like the toughest guys are the most laid back.
Yeah, they are.
Every real badass I've ever met, every like world class like savage I've ever met, from Vanderlei Silva, he's the axe murderer, right? You see him tattoo on the back of his head, crazy. That guy would come onto the bus and be like, hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
That's what he did as a mixed martial artist. He has respect for everybody. But, like, when he fights, he fights, you know? And it's, I don't know.
I think it's a respect. I mean, it's also like.
But if you disrespect him, he'd be a psycho, like, like him and Chael and all that.
People who can handle themselves, they don't need to prove anything. They don't need to talk a tough game. Mm-hmm. It's always the people, like. And I grew up in Dublin too. Like, listen, I fought as a kid all my time in the school ground. I was always, you know what I mean? I was like throwing digs or getting digs. And it's like, the lads.
I don't know. I've been to the UK a bunch, so I know everything he's saying. There's a bunch of slang going on. You'll get it.
Yeah, but I just said, like, the guys who can handle themselves are not like, you know, they're the ones who don't say nothing. It's always, that's what I always like. Always be wary of the quiet ones, man. Always. The quiet ones are the ones you gotta look out for. It's not the lads who are like barking like mad, sticking their chest out and huffing and puffing, you know?
You got a countryman back home, Conor McGregor, who's, you know, so well known for he talked the talk. And, you know, he's a pretty big savage who, you know, at in his peak would fuck you up as well.
Yeah.
And
He was always running his mouth, right?
So, this is the thing. I also believe in karma. Conor McGregor's done a lot, but at the same time, you can only puff your chest out so long and it means something. I think it was right time, right place. He puffed it out, and honestly, I kind of don't like it because now every fighter and dude thinks they have to be like this douche now. Right. And yeah, it worked for him, bro. One guy. Everybody else doing it is just obnoxious and annoying.
They're not
and
trying to have their own personality.
And it's actually kind of toxic in a way. Well, like back when I fought, like not like, oh, back when I was a kid, but like it was, I felt like there was a little bit more respect for your fellow competitor. Even if there was trash, I was like, yo, I hate you. It's like, yeah, I'm going to knock you down. It, whatever.
Wasn't the era of money fights.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And now, like, once he did that and then they saw the success he had, you saw every press conference, everybody's wearing a suit and sunglasses and being super cool. It's like, no, none of you are that cool.
None of you are that cool.
I think Connor
was, but you guys aren't. Like, and that's like when Connor was like, who the fuck is that guy? And everybody did. Like, yeah, none of you guys could pull that off because he's cool enough to do it. You guys aren't, you know?
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. They just try to imitate when what they need to do is be themselves. Turned up like we all do, and that's why we find success.
I think Conor is also being very heavily influenced by WWE. There's no doubt about it. Like promos and stuff. Of course, like there's no like, he's definitely watched it a lot. You know what I mean?
He credits Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali credits classic Freddie Blassie.
Yeah, so it's all like it's all linked together. You know what I mean? It was definitely something new at the time, but now like people have to create their own style.
Do you
think
Conor would thrive in the WWE?
You know, I don't know the schedule would. I don't think he'd last the schedule. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think many UFC fighters would. I mean, Matty will probably attest to that because
I'll be honest with people. Like, even when I got into wrestling, I'm like, well, I found the UFC, you know? And then you get there. I got into the UFC faster than I got into WWE. It took me like 5 years to get to WWE. It only took me about 8 months to get into the UFC because I had the wrestling background, I had the jiu-jitsu background, and I hit
I feel like it's a revolving door, too. Guys get, you know,
You get
short
fired,
life, lifespan.
You get
you think
in.
His size would be a hindrance, too. He's a little small.
Yeah, but look at Floyd Mayweather.
True.
You know, and then kind of like what? Like, so you get Sheamus coming in, oh, you think you're the Irish, and then he cracks Sheamus and he drops. It's like, oh, wow, he just knocked that. And then Sheamus beats the shit out, you know, like.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
All right,
I think
it works, but at the same time, I think with our product, because the one thing is Conor does appeal to that mass unit of fans, like the 18, that demo.
Yep.
But at the same time, we appeal to kids to everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like there's gotta be some kind of filter. Even like with the Jake Paul and all that, like some of the stuff they do and say, I'm like I wouldn't want to say that to somebody, you know? Like and I'm all about pushing lines and talking trash, but I'm like, I think that was a little too much.
What Jake general? Paul when he says that McGregor is like
dude snaps his ankle in half and then you make like $150. One, how many people have that much money? And then two, to make that necklace and then like yeah, here, you take it because you fought him and he broke it. Like, it's like, and that's real. That's real life. It's real.
Yeah,
that's
talking
real.
About the wives
it's
and kids
real
like.
Life.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I mean, if someone's talking about your wife and kids, your fiance, like, are you able to just be like, all right, like, he's just promoting the fight, he's taking it too far. But he's just promoting the fight, so I'll let it slide. Or is it like, I'm going to fucking kill this guy if I see him?
It depends on who he is.
Yeah.
It depends on though, right?
And that's not like a weird thing. It depends on how it's said. Yo, man, he's a bitch, his wife's a bitch, whatever. I'd be like, yeah, whatever, I'm still going to fight this guy. But it's like, somebody's like going in and like, oh, I'm that piece of garbage, and then you're like, oh, okay, like you're going to say some
different
shit.
Story, yeah.
Like, okay.
Look. I think McGregor would do well. I think he did a short burst or was a thing to Mania or something like that, you know, like they've done with Mayweather in the past.
Yeah,
right. If it wasn't the schedule, but
I'll be honest, I wasn't a mad fan of the Jake Paul thing or which one was it?
Logan Paul
at the Mania thing. And I
took a decent stunner.
I see him later today.
So I'm a little biased.
Oh, you do?
I do. I go see Logan Paul later today.
I don't even know which one is which.
Maybe I'll try.
I don't know which one is which. So what's the deal with them? Like,
your brother
wants to be a boxer or something? Or?
Logan is I think, the, like, smarter,
more
a little bit classier. Jake is, like,
an obnoxious, in-your-face internet troll.
Yeah.
He can box, he can throw hands, but he's like,
he's
the problem child.
Who's the one that fights? Is it Jake that fights?
Do you think he's going to be
Tyrone Woodley?
Jake boxes.
They both fight.
No, but Jake, they both fight.
Jake's
but
Jake, a better
Jake is a better
fighter. Tyrone Woodley
Logan
fight.
Was like, I'm here to put on a show.
Tyrone's okay. Hard, all that. But Jake's big. Like, Logan's big. Like, they're not small dudes.
They grew up wrestling.
And the thing is, like I fought welterweight. I remember meeting Tyrone. Tyrone's like 4 inches shorter than me. He's powerful, but he's stocky. I know Jake. I met Logan. Logan's probably close to my size, very similar build.
Yes,
I would imagine Jake's very similar build because they're, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I think Jake's got the reach. He hits really hard. He doesn't have the same amount of fight experience, but it's different fighting. MMA is different than kickboxing or boxing or wrestling or jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. So it's
so like, are they going to do MMA? Is that the deal?
They're boxing.
But
yeah, if it was MMA, Tyrone Woodley wouldn't be close. Tyrone Woodley would just smash him, clinch him. Even me, like, if I was in a boxing match, like, I'll be honest, if I had to box somebody, I'd probably get my ass whooped. You know, like, I'm not a professional boxer. That's not what I do. Like, but I can clinch you, knee you in the face, elbow you in the face, take you down, get nasty and mean, because I like to fight. Like, I'm grimy. That's what I do.
Right.
But, like, that's a sport. Boxing's a sport.
Right.
Kickboxing's a sport.
Yeah, wrestling's MMA a sport. Is a different.
MMA, they call it a sport. It's a chess match, per se, but it's like, I had to elbow you in the temple like this. Oh, now you moved your hand. Triangle choke. Is that really, like, it's
that's
brutal.
Not a chess match.
Yeah, that's like a weird,
Well, there was a video that we covered on our site a few months ago that went viral of two college football players who were, you know, 6'4".
Oh, yeah, in the bathroom.
And he got worked in the bathroom.
Yeah. Bar, and he, you know, he thinks he's hot shit.
I've done that before, but it's never made you
talking
YouTube.
Shit to some guy who's probably 6 inches shorter than him, but that dude trained MMA.
He's a wrestler,
He threw the first punch, and, I mean, this guy, pow, pow, pow.
Lights out.
Like, I mean, it was over with the quickness.
That's actually
the one guy almost lost his eye.
Yeah.
The guy who, like, started it.
But, yeah, those guys, you know, threw the first punch or were talking the shit, and they found out real quick. You never know who you're going to run into in a bar anymore. Everybody trained.
Everybody can cauliflower ear. Like, get out of there.
Yeah, that's my number one sign. You got cauliflower ear.
I know how to do everything. I don't start fights with nobody. Ever.
You never
I'm just
know
like,
who's going to fucking, you know.
Never.
That's the other thing is, too, like, that goes too far, you know what I mean? Like I've seen it happen. Like, I worked the doors too. I've worked the doors with some in Dublin with some crazy guys.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure
like,
you see some things.
Like, some lunatics, like, working with me on the door, because I used to work for a security company, and then, like, there was this lad from Europe, and this guy was drunk, and I was trying to hold him back. He knew he was drunk, and then he put your man was just waiting for him to put his hands on him, and he dropped him, you know what I mean? The doorman dropped him, and, like, he could have hit his head, or, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, and then that's it. Your man's like, it's just...
Yeah, you
it's
go just, from a bar scrap to a...
I mean, a coma or something.
Just like that.
Scott Hall. I mean,
so you're smart, you know what I mean? Someone. Smart, right. You know, clench him, whatever you need to do, but... Yeah.
And,
as long
and
as
I always look like this, like, when I first started fighting, I watched, like, an instructional DVD, and they go, if you ever get into a fight, and somebody pushes you, hey, you put your hands up, but if you notice...
That's
I'm
real
already
quick.
In my fights real quick. I'm like, hey, man, don't do anything. Don't hit me. And I'm ready to pay and punch you right in the face. But I'm like, sorry. But, like, that's, like, number
one.
Get
your hands
up. Hey, try to dismiss the situation before anything, but be ready to go, you know? And
all right, we'll do one more of each here.
Okay.
Before we wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Just relax, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
There's no one more relaxed than this fella here. I'll tell you that. Right.
SummerSlam's coming up, bro. You're getting me juicy. Just ask us whatever you want to ask us.
If you could, if you could erase one thing from your mind to relive it again, what would it be?
My debut in WWE.
Yeah.
You
had a great debut.
Yeah, it was
not like Shockmaster.
Not like Shockmaster. Even though before I went out there, mate, I was like. There's a million things starts rushing through your mind that you don't want to rush through your mind. Like,
terrified.
If I can mess this up, whatever. Like, I talked about the guy I was in the ring with, this guy called John Oliver. I don't know if he still wrestles, but he was awesome, man. He was great. Like, every move I hit, he took great. But, yeah, I remember literally, like, because we were on ECW, and normally ECW was taped, and we were on the West Coast. So it was live. So we're live before SmackDown, and I was like, you know, and he started going, oh, my God, this is live. This goes wrong, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So, but, like, the adrenaline rush I got going out there and the crowd and everything was amazing, mate. I'll never forget it. Like that's that
is,
was.
Is that like some real like one shot one opportunity? Like
yeah.
You're really worried like fuck if this doesn't go right.
100%.
Yeah.
100%,
yeah. Like if you bombed that night, would it have been like back to the bottom of the ladder for you, or did you have a
who
little
knows
slack like?
Well, I think if you start off in a bad turn or on the bad foot, you know, then you're an uphill. Now there's a lot more pressure, and even the pressure you put on yourself as well. You know what I mean? So you do get one opportunity to do it. I've seen people come before where they had an opportunity and they don't do well, and then you know. They just move on to the next guy because there's so many people hungry. He'll tell you it's an NXT. There's a lot of hungry talent down there who are biting, you know, chopping at the bit to get up here and to get in here. So, like, if something doesn't work out, they're not going to wait, and just, the next person's going to come up, you know. So that's just the way it is. You get an opportunity. You train for so long, you put so much effort and commitment into it, but then it just comes down to that, whatever, 5 or 6 minutes or whatever it is you have for that first time you're out there. And I've seen a few people like literally just let their mind get the better of them or their nerves get the better of them. So
that is crazy because like you think about it in sports, like usually you at least have a rookie contract.
Yeah, you have a bad day. Like, you have a whole season or whatever to work it out.
Like, you know,
this could be one night. Yeah,
like, in baseball, I feel like sometimes it gets sent down pretty quick. But
yeah, but
I'm not saying that's the end all be all, but I'm saying like. When if that happens, and you know, now you're on the back foot. Now you're
they now got, maybe the now crowd's not reacting to you the next time.
Yeah,
come out
also you're yeah. also you know you got to now you got to like prove yourself even more the next time. So you just put a lot more pressure on yourself. So that first time, definitely you don't get a second chance of making a good first impression. You know what I mean? And it's true.
About you, it can be anything.
Me,
by the way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
wrestling,
for like? Me, well, it's wrestling, but it's amateur wrestling. When I was a senior in high school, I tore a meniscus, and I like came back and I ended up winning states the same year.
Wow.
And John Jones ended up taking third, and I won states. And when I won states, I was in the finals. I was in overtime, and the guy kind of took me down. But the ref didn't call it in time, and I, like, switched it and stuck the guy to his back. And the whole crowd started fucking booing me. Like, you suck, motherfucker. Like, boo! Like, you suck, ref! Like, and I'm just like, and then I get up, and they're booing me, and I'm just like, I'm 18 years old.
And you're a heel already.
And they're just booing me. A bunch of people from Long Island.
That was the moment you knew. Like,
and I was just like, oh, this feels so good. And then afterwards, my whole family each gave me a card with $100. And I could tell it was already in envelopes like a week earlier. And they're like, we didn't know if you were going to win, but congratulations. And like, I made like $1,000 the night from everybody in my family because they gave me money if I won states. So it was just... It was a good experience.
What did you think of that buzzer beater gold medal? Did you see that?
Yeah, Gable Stevenson.
Dude, Stevenson.
Beautiful.
Last fucking
dude,
second.
You don't stop. I'm actually shocked the other guy. The other guy seemed, he was just stalling.
He was stalling.
He just kept grabbing on the leg, hooking. And shockingly, you can get points taken from you for that because in wrestling, it's...
You gotta stay active,
you know. That's the whole point. Right.
It's crazy considering too. They're gonna take wrestling at the Olympics, weren't they? At one stage,
they still might. They're reckless for some reason, and they're like, "Oh, nobody watches." It's at 4 o'clock in the morning. Some years,
it's like you can't judge it like that. Moment was one of the best.
That got so much buzz.
And if you want to look at it like this, how many Olympic, like other athletes, are making this much more money after their careers? There's a bunch of Olympic wrestlers from other countries, from America, that go into MMA and like make thousands of dollars.
I mean, this guy's doing the backflips. He's got personality.
He'll be
at SummerSlam tomorrow.
He literally won the gold, and I was like, oh, like impressive. And then he hit like a cartwheel back, and I was like, wait. Usually, after a wrestling match, Division One East Stroudsburg. I'm like, this. And this guy like just won Olympic gold. It was like,
yeah. How about in Olympics, the karate, the dude who won the gold medal?
He won my point, but
how does that make sense?
What happened?
This dude like did some Karate Kid shit, like pow.
He got him right, the guy out. And he lost.
Too hard of a strike.
Got disqualified.
So the guy who was on his back gets pulled.
Not supposed to knock him out.
Well, I guess like it would be the same as if like, you're in one of those fencing matches and you're like, killed him.
It's a little different. I get it. Contact sports.
Yeah.
But it's not a combat.
What are we doing?
I don't know. They had some.
They look at it as touch point fighting.
Right.
You know,
that's some bullshit. All right. We'll wrap up with one last question. I don't need to look at it. Give me your Mount Rushmore of wrestlers, current, past, alive, dead, 4 greatest wrestlers in your opinion ever.
The one for me who got me totally into WWE was Macho Man Randy Savage. He was just absolutely phenomenal. Promos, entrance, his gear, his entrance, his charisma in the ring, having Elizabeth there, it was just like, to me, that just
checked every box.
Everything, mate. Like, I would be glued.
He had one hell of an elbow drop.
Oh, my God. Over the rope, we grabbed the guy's head.
I love a dude
over
that
the top
really
rope into a slingshot. And he, and I remember the first time he was like doing this thing. He did the thing with Steamboat with the bell, and he went in with George Animal Steel, and he, you know, with Steamboat again. And like, to me, he was just everything. Like, you talk about all the boxes checked, the promos are all, like, you still see people like putting social media, some of his promos, cup of tea, you know what I mean? And like all these things in there. And so for me, it was great. Him, then of course, after that, like, I was totally into, totally loved the Warrior, Ultimate Warrior, because of like his energy. Like, what kid, like whatever, 10, 11 year old kid, couldn't get into, no, but it's just, I'm talking about the energy, the music hits, he's running down, he's shaking the ropes. I mean, in-ring work, you know, whatever, but
WrestleMania 6 and 7 got a great match out of
this guy. 6
knows.
Was great, but like,
it's all opinion, you know. Other people,
no, it is opinion, it is opinion. And I'll tell you, the other guy was, I was a big fan of Million Dollar Man because again, he was there today at the media day because just a brilliant heel, a brilliant heel. He moved around, he bumped around, he made everybody who was in that ring with look like $1 million. And then I'd say,
no pun intended,
no pun intended, yeah. And then I'd say the other one would be. Stone Cold, I think, for me, is another one who I love watching. Just everything about him, his promos, and of course, when he hit that finisher, the roof just came off.
What do you think the better is, his entrance with the glass, or when he finishes it with the stunner? Because to me, those are equal.
Oh, they're equal, man.
Yeah, they're
equal.
Right? Give me your four.
The glass. for me, I'm all about in ring, so it's like Kurt Angle,
I knew you were gonna say Kurt.
Michaels,
yeah.
Bret Hart. Goldberg, no. no disrespect.
No disrespect. Hands up. No, not me either.
The last one, there's a name. I'm not going to say it. But I would probably throw him on there, but because of his past, I won't.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
So if I'm going to throw one more on, is there five?
Four.
I have never been to Mount Rushmore.
You know? Nobody's been to Mount Rushmore.
Here am I. So.
And honestly, because he inspired me, and he's pretty sweet, and he's at a sweet pool party today, Rob Van Dam.
Nice.
You know what I'm going to say? Randy.
I thought we were going to get Randy. Randy.
This is, we're talking about people that aren't wrestling. Like, you know, they're not our presidents anymore. Right. We're talking about
true.
If you're in the ring, Randy, partner.
You know a lot about this.
We'll be on that Mount Rushmore together one day.
Yeah, you guys will have your own Mount Rushmore.
I hope so.
We're going to put it off just off to the side, you know?
Yeah.
About 4 miles down
like,
the road.
Like 4 or 5 miles on another mountain, just like...
Chisel, bro, into
it. It's crazy that so many great superstars that, like, no mention, you know, The Rock, Undertaker, Kane, Mick Foley.
Hulk Hogan. Ric Flair.
You know, it's...
I should have said Flair.
Oh, it's too late. You already answered. Never change your mind.
That's the problem. There's so many. It's hard to pick. And then, like, what I say today, you know, what you say today, you may say another time, a different time. But, like, I know, like... For me, though, those guys growing up, like, I know the Warriors' work in the ring was not good, but everything before that, the entrance and the stuff.
He would look great on a mountain, too.
The face paint, with his all fired.
Yeah, all fired up, dude. Yeah. You could rock, like, rappel down his face.
Savage, though, man. Savage.
His punches were so good, too.
Like, you know.
He was great.
Extra piece of the puzzle.
No.
All right, fellas. Well, thank you so much for the time. Really unbelievable. Best of luck to
both. Cheers for
you.
The free beer and the Irish coffee.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Saturday night, WWE SummerSlam. Both these guys will be in action.
Nice meeting
you. Can watch it on Peacock. So download the app, hit up Peacock, and watch the show starts. The show's going all night long Saturday night. So.
And remember, George Lucas's greatest achievement is...
Howard the Duck. No brainer, bro.
Thank you so much, guys.
Sweet.
It was really great. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, bro. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Cheers, bro.